back to This Week in Channel 9. I'm Christina Warren, joined this week by...
Jeremy Lickness, a cloud developer advocate.
Based, like me, right?
Exactly, yeah. Based out of Atlanta, but practically living in Seattle right now.
I was going to say, you're here for the week, and then you go home for a day or two.
A day.
Then you come back.
Yes.
Then you leave again, and then you come back.
And then I come back again. I can't stay away.
You can't stay
away.
But you're moving here, right?
I am moving here next year.
Fantastic. So. I'm originally from Atlanta, so two Atlanta people, ATLians in the Northeast.
Translocated to the West, exactly.
Basically. All right, so we're going to get some coffee, and then we're going to talk about the news.
All right. There you go. Yeah, my secret is when I get an extra shot, I like the extra shot, but it also makes less room for cream, so.
Right, so you're not able to have as much, yeah.
Yeah,
good call.
Exactly. My calorie reduction technique.
That's a good one. All right. So we've got our coffee.
We do.
Now it's time to talk about the news. First up, Brian Liston is finally back from Europe. He's one of our cameramen this week, so he's giving, you know, we're going to give him a shout out from the show. There he is. Hey, say hi, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
For everyone who watches weekly and has been wondering where in the world is Brian Liston, he's finally back. Although he's going to be in New York next week, so...
He's a traveling man.
He is. Speaking of traveling, I guess this is a bad segue, but the HoloLens is expanding to 29 new markets, which is exciting. So it's going to be, this was announced in London at the Future Decoded Summit that 15,000 IT and business decision makers attended. And basically, HoloLens and Windows Mixed Reality is coming to 29 new markets.
And this is exciting. You know, I was a MVP before I came to Microsoft. And when these are released and they're only in limited markets, it's frustrating, right,
yeah.
For the global community. They want to get their hands on, start developing experiences and building this out. So the more markets, the better, right? We want to reach everyone everywhere.
No, you're dead on. And I think that this is how this sort of technology is able to take hold, is as many people as possible are able to use it. Because otherwise, it just kind of exists in a silo and then nothing gets done.
So have you gotten to use any of the mixed reality?
I have. So cool.
It's amazing.
And it's amazing because I actually saw one of the very first HoloLens demos.
Yes.
And I've seen it progress over time and it's gotten so much better. And I can't wait for it to get in more people's hands.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Very cool technology.
Speaking of very cool technology, I love this and I want to hear your take. Because we both use Surface Books at work, but the Surface Pro is a great machine too. And now there is a brand new Surface Pro that has LTE Advanced built in,
right.
Which means for the first time, you don't need to have an extra dongle or tether to your phone. You can really use your machine anywhere. What do you think about this, especially from an engineer's perspective?
I think this is incredible. So I switched to the Surface Pro 3. And I use that actually as my main development device, but being a portable device, it could run my virtual machines, it could run SQL, so that was great. You know, the one problem when you switch to something like a Pro and you can get all your work done with it is it's so light.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to anything heavier, right? You're kind of stuck down that path. But having LTE and being able to plug into cellular, and what I read was something like 450 gigabit download speed. So that's faster than I think some people's home internet connections.
It definitely is. And they've worked to have all the major antennas with this so you can actually truly use it globally, which is really important because a lot of times, you know, your phone in the United States or in Europe might only work someplace else. And now you can be assured that your laptop will work anywhere. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Also, check out this week on Channel 9, our own Seth Juarez on Azure Fridays talking about improving Azure SQL database performance with automatic tuning.
Yeah, so this is part of the evolution with SQL in the cloud. And I was actually talking to one of the engineers this morning. And the idea behind this is that SQL is not just a database. It's an intelligent system. And we have a new vulnerability assessment tool that came out. This is talking about automatic tuning, where it literally on the fly learns what the behaviors are with the database and tunes the database, optimizes indexes, does things to actually keep it running smoothly and fast. And they have a really great demo that they show of tuning it on the fly with this feature.
That's awesome. So definitely check out that video on Azure Friday. This was also, you were telling me a little bit about this when we were talking before the show. I like this a lot. Once you started explaining it to me, it made more sense. So basically, Azure and Microsoft Research are basically taking major steps towards eliminating network downtime, which is, as we all know, one of the worst things that can happen
right,
if you're working
exactly.
in any sort of network operation. You don't want downtime. So how does this work?
So this is a system. It's a virtual network system. I believe they call it CrystalNet.
Yeah.
And the idea is it can make an identical copy of a network. And of course, you can't create a physical copy when there's thousands and thousands of wires and machines, but this will create at the packet level something that looks identical to that network. So as they're rolling out new changes, they have this complex model that they can roll the changes out to and predict exactly what's going to happen when they switch it live on the real physical network.
That's so huge.
Yeah,
so that way
you
can really test stuff. You don't have to worry about something going awry. That's
right.
Awesome. That's awesome. All right, this also wanted to kind of highlight, last week, if you missed the Azure Open Dev Summit, you can catch all of the sessions live on Channel 9, or not live, on demand on Channel 9. It was live last week.
Right.
Our own Ashley McNamara, who's on the CDA team along with me and Jeremy, was the host. So was Seth Juarez. Lots of great speakers, lots of great content. So
yeah,
check that out.
Yeah, it's amazing content. I think, you know, the most important thing about this to me is that it's a new Microsoft, right? And we embrace open source. And this is a virtual conference. It streamed live, and now it's on demand, that was focused specifically on how we embrace open source technology.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. This is very cool, and this is right up your alley. Because you are our .NET CDA. Is basically, there's a whole post about how to use containers in Azure to modernize existing .NET apps. So talk a little bit about that, because that's been kind of a struggle for a few years, right? It's been people kind of moving from maybe older .NET stuff to getting things running with UWP and whatnot.
Right, and it was funny because I looked at this, and there was even a comment talking about this, how microservices is this big term, and everyone, we have to migrate to microservices. But the reality is we have legacy applications that sometimes don't make sense to change or won't fit in that model. So with Windows containers, you can take those legacy applications, place them in a container, and leverage all the benefits of containerization with your legacy app. So it's just that one extra step to get you closer to a cloud-based solution, and then you can start fanning out to the other capabilities that you have in the cloud.
So yeah, so you're basically, you're getting, it's going to be in the cloud, but you don't have to migrate everything else.
Right, you can sort of lift and shift. It's kind of a cliche term, but this is exactly it. Lifting it, shifting it into a container, and then you're plugged into this modern fabric that containerization provides.
Very cool. All right, this actually looks, speaking of cool things, like me, I'm sure you've read a lot of programming books, right?
Yes.
And one of the interesting things that has actually happened is, you know, they went paper, now they're PDFs, you know, they go other ways, is executing code samples.
Right.
Sometimes people will include zip files or other things, sometimes websites that years after you get it won't work anymore. Talk a little bit about what this is and how it works.
So this is they're called Jupyter Notebooks, but it's this enhanced feature that allows you to embed code and run code from directly within it. So if
so
this
cool.
book, for example, when it's moved into these notebooks, the code samples are live. This is a live engine that you actually run. You can even edit the code and update it on the fly. And so the powerful thing for readers and end users is Python is a whole framework, right? So you have to install an SDK
right.
and set your paths. This lets people get started up and running quickly without having to do that entire install and configure their system. So they can do it right from the browser.
That's so cool. So in this is coding directly from the browser from your book, and this is going to, I guess, come to more, I hope, more programming books in the future.
Absolutely.
All right. And this is another one I kind of want you to talk about. Basically, we have a new API analyzer, and talk a little bit about this. This is part of a NuGet package, right?
Right. And the reason I'm actually out here this week is because it's the annual PaaS Summit, which I found out the summit's been going for 19 years. And I've been professionally programming for 20 years, so it's almost as old as I am as a summit. But I came out, it's a data-focused summit, but they are expanding to developer tracks. And I talked about web API design. We did an entire day workshop on API design. And what's really amazing about this is we talk about best practices for APIs, the way they handle endpoints, the way they handle authentication, the way they respond to different capabilities. And this analyzer is literally a way you can point it at an existing application that you have up and running and get feedback immediately on how you're following those practices. So it's like the performance tuning we talked about earlier. It's just more automation to make our lives easier and have that extra layer of security before we deploy something out.
I love it. That's so cool. I'm glad that, more things like this are becoming available. All right, so also on Channel 9, in addition to looking at the Azure Friday talk and the Open Dev Summit, is MVP Show, which is probably the show I'm most jealous of Seth getting to host, because he gets to go
all over the place. Yeah, he gets to go with that.
And this episode, he goes to Norway to talk with Iris Klassen, who's an MVP from Stavanger, Norway, and they meet at a coffee shop and kind of talk about microservice deployment models and the cloud and, you know, kind of how she got into development. It's a very good episode, so check it out. Look at that scenery. I definitely wish that I could go
to Norway. Yeah, I'm jealous. So the cat's out of the bag. A lot of people wonder how to pronounce my last name, and it's Lickness. And it comes from a Norwegian area that actually has one S, not two, like my name. So I've always wanted to go back and see, you know, where did my ancestors immigrate from in Norway? Super jealous of Seth for getting out there and being able to do that.
I love this because we talk a lot about AI and machine learning stuff. And basically, you know, one of the things that's really interesting is facial recognition and, right. and looking at a different image sets. And basically, NVIDIA has figured out how to generate photorealistic images of fake celebrities. But if you were to look at some of these, you would think that they were real, like, celebrities or paparazzi shots. They're that close using AI. I think this is just bananas.
Yeah, it blows my mind. I mean, if you look at the picture that they have as a sample, it's just... You wouldn't believe that's not a real person, that was created by an engine.
I'm just looking forward to the day that, like, I think Kylie will be the Kardashian who will be the first to embrace this, because she's the youngest and she seems to be the most savvy. And Kylie is going to just create an entire, like, new life for herself
there
on her
go.
Snapchat and or her Instagram, and we're just not going to know.
Through AI.
Through AI.
Okay.
I'm here for that, actually. I'm here for the AI Kardashian revolution. All right, time for picks of the week. Jeremy, what's your pick of the week?
My pick is a super nerdy pick, I admit this. But I thought this was cool, especially with Halloween, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the Great Pyramid, very well known, it's been explored, there's been specials about it. Well, they found a way to bombard it with cosmic rays, right? So those are coming down from space. There's this particle called a muon that I probably pronounced it wrong. But by measuring these particles, they were able to map a chamber that is like a 30-meter chamber that was undiscovered inside the pyramid. No one's been inside it. Literally, cosmic rays exposed the new chamber in the Great Pyramid of Giza the day after Halloween this broke. So
that's so cool. And the photos, I mean, are just, the idea, that's very cool.
Yeah.
I love that. That is super nerdy, but I appreciate that. Also super nerdy in a totally different way. My pick of the week, and I have to give a shout out to Greg Duncan, who prepares a lot of our links for us, because this was so up my alley. I love retro tech, and I love, like, older tech stories.
Right. I love the history of tech,
too. The IEEE on their Spectrum blog, they have this amazing post about the origins of PowerPoint, which obviously is what we're using to present this and what millions and millions of people use for their presentations. And right. I actually knew this history, but I'd forgotten so much of it. And it's a great article. It goes into the history of presentation apps in general, but the actual story of PowerPoint, this always blows my mind, especially as somebody who primarily uses a Mac. It started out as a Mac app.
Yeah.
And then Microsoft, like within months of it coming out, said, we're just gonna buy this. And to this day, it was Microsoft's first San Francisco outpost. They claim, I think this is true, I don't know for certain, that it's still developed in the San Francisco offices.
I'm not sure.
I was just out
in San Francisco, and I might have been close to some of those developers while I was out there, but it's a very nice office, by the way.
Oh, is it? I haven't been there, but I would like to see it. But yeah, but I mean, it's just a great history kind of presentation apps.
Yeah, I have a ton of historic technology books, the history of how Microsoft was made, Palo Alto Research, mm-hmm. and this is right up my alley of history behind PowerPoint.
Yeah, definitely check out the blog post, because it goes into, again, like I was saying, some of the stuff starting with Xerox PARC and then going forward. And one of the interesting things I found was, like, the company that made PowerPoint originally also was behind FileMaker, which was one of the
right.
very first kind of
yeah.
consumer databases, which, you know, I think for a lot of us, I know for me, like, PowerPoint Access were, like, my introduction to relational databases. Like,
sure.
I wasn't using anything else, and it wasn't until I was older and kind of realized, like, oh, okay.
There's these other big databases.
And then SQL made sense. I was
right.
like, oh, okay, this is the same thing. So it's a cool origin story, so check that out.
Absolutely.
All right, Jeremy, thank you for being an amazing co-host.
Thank you, appreciate
and,
it.
And we will see you when you're back.
Yeah, which will be often.
Which will be often when you're back in Redmond.
Absolutely.
See you guys next week.
See ya, thank you.